The number 7 is the most significant number in the Bible, appearing in some manner about 600 times. 600 times the number 7 appears in scriptures. 7 is used in scripture frequently to signify completeness. Many times it has a reference to bringing a work to completion. In the Companion Bible, in its reference appendix regarding the number 7, it says, 7 denotes spiritual perfection. Spiritual perfection. It is the number or hallmark of the Holy Spirit's work. So we can say very confidently that the number 7 has great significance throughout the Bible. And the number 7 is associated, of course, with the Sabbath. The weekly Sabbath falls every 7 days and was set apart at creation by God. God set apart the 7th day as one of his appointed times, a time of solemn rest and a time for a holy convocation. Please turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23 to begin the sermon this afternoon. Leviticus chapter 23, which is a complete list of God's appointed feast days. It's the only chapter in the Bible which lists all of God's feast days, including the Sabbath. And regarding his appointed feast days, they are special worship events. Leviticus chapter 23, and we will read verses 1 through 3. Leviticus chapter 23, beginning in verse number 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 2, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, God says, these are my feasts. It's repeated in this section, you'll notice, even if you go down to verse number 4, 3 times a holy convocation is brought out. Holy convocations are in conjunction with God's feasts. And when we talk about a holy convocation, we're talking about a sacred assembly for worship. And that's what God has set them aside as, holy convocations to worship him. Continuing on in verse number 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the 7th day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Notice that God says, here in verse number 3, it says, a Sabbath of the Lord. God proclaimed the Sabbath as a holy convocation, time set aside for us to worship him. One of the root causes of the multitudes of problems that we see in the world today is a lack of time for God. People are not setting aside time to worship God, getting farther and farther away from God. And yet God has set aside a special day for us to worship him. That one day of the week was created for us to focus on our Creator. We cannot take the Sabbath for granted, nor forget the great purpose that God created the Sabbath for our good. The title of today's sermon is, The Great Significance of the Sabbath. The Great Significance of the Sabbath. Today, let's focus on and remember the great significance of the Sabbath. And I want to focus on the word remember. Remember the Sabbath and its significance. And we'll talk about that more as we go through the sermon today. God designed and put special significance on the Sabbath, and it must not be forgotten. We live in a world today that's in a hurry, and a society that does not encourage rest, refreshment, nor worship in the proper way. But when we, you and I, when we understand God's purpose for the Sabbath, it includes not only all of those, rest, refreshment, and worship, but it also represents the great rest that God has planned for all mankind in the millennium after Jesus Christ returns to this earth. Our world today, the society that we live in, is becoming more and more secular, getting away from God, His word, and God's commandments. But brethren, we cannot let these forces of society and the world, to diminish our understanding, to diminish our enthusiasm for God's word. And we must not lose sight of the great significance of the Sabbath. Let's go back to verse number 2 here, in chapter 23 of Leviticus, and notice the word feast. Our English word feast comes from the Hebrew moed, M-O-E-D, moed, which means appointed time of meeting. God has set up holy convocations, set times, appointed meetings to worship Him. And God says they are my feasts, ordained by God. And there's not any place in the scripture where they were changed. And the Sabbath, as well, is appointed time by God. Again, in verse number 3, we see this phrase, the Sabbath of the Lord. The weekly Sabbath is the foundation of all sacred time. Now, we know what a foundation is. A foundation supports the building. It's a supporting part of anything. The Sabbath is the foundation of all sacred time. And of course, we see it mentioned here before all of the feast days are mentioned in Leviticus chapter 23. The foundation for all the holy convocations. And we keep that day once a week, every week throughout the year. 7, as I mentioned earlier, is associated with the Sabbath and reflects in the Bible the idea of completeness and conveys also the idea of holiness. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. We all know this section of scripture where the Ten Commandments are listed. After the children of Israel escaped from slavery, after God freed them from their slavery, they came to Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, the generation that left Egypt received the Ten Commandments. And we have them written here in the scriptures for all of us and for all of mankind. Exodus chapter 20, and of course we're going to look at verses 8 through 11. And I've mentioned this before in the Bible study series when we went through this section of scripture, that when you peruse through the Ten Commandments here, we notice that more emphasis and more information is given about the Sabbath than any of the other commandments, emphasizing the great importance of it. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 8 starts off with that word remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So God is telling us two things here. Remember the Sabbath day, but also keep it holy. Keep it holy, and that means to have a proper respect and a reverence for the Sabbath. You know, in Numbers chapter 15, there's the example of a fellow that, amongst the Israelites, went out and gathered sticks, gathered wood on the Sabbath, deliberately doing that, deliberately defiling the Sabbath day. He did not have a proper respect and reverence, and he was killed, he was stoned for it. But God wants us to have that proper respect and reverence. And also to remember the Sabbath day. And we'll get into that a little bit more as we develop this sermon. Continuing on, verse number 9. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. There's that phrase like we read in Leviticus chapter 23. The Sabbath of the Lord. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. Verse 11, and here we see here in verse number 11, why this Sabbath is so special. Because it reflects back on creation. Verse number 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That's why it's so special, because it reflects back on creation. The Sabbath day was made for man and set apart at creation, at the time of creation. And God blessed and sanctified the seventh day. When we see these words at the end of verse number 11, that he blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. That's an amazing thing to be attached to a day. An amazing thing to be attached to a day. That God blessed it and he hallowed it. In other words, he set it apart and sanctified it. Now let's go back to verse number 8. And let's look at the beginning of verse number 8 where it says, remember the Sabbath day. Let me ask the question, how do we remember the Sabbath day? How do we remember the Sabbath day? This is very important when we consider its significance. Well, I'm going to give you two ways of how we remember the Sabbath day. First of all, we remember that God made it a special day. We remember that God made it a special day. Because he blessed it and he sanctified it. He set it apart. He held the Sabbath at creation. So there's a connection between remembering and what God did at creation. Like it says in verse number 11, he blessed and hallowed it. Let's go back to the beginning now, back to Genesis chapter 2, where he did bless and hallow the Sabbath day at creation. Genesis chapter 2. Of course, we know that in Genesis chapter 1, it explains and gives us the details of creation, those first 6 days of that week of creation. Then we come to chapter 2 of Genesis. Actually, let's pick it up in verse 31 of chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 31, we'll pick it up. Then God saw, verse 31, that everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day, the first 6 days of creation. Then we come to verse number 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. Verse number 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And verse number 3. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. And the reason why? Because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So we see here that God separated a special day. The Sabbath day. It says here in verse number 3 that the seventh day he sanctified it. This is the first biblical appearance of the word sanctified. And when we talk about our English word sanctified, going back to the original Hebrew, Vine's dictionary says, sanctified means to declare something holy. To declare something holy. A day that is sanctified is made or declared holy by God. And in observing the seventh day as holy, we are imitating God's example, the Creator's example. Notice here it says that he rested from all of his work. Now God didn't rest because he was exhausted. God is eternal. He's the creator of everything. But he rested as an example to all of us. That's why he rested. To give us that example. And he sanctified it, the Sabbath, and declared it holy. Throughout the Word of God, we find that God is holy. You can find that in many scriptures. Holiness is the essence of God's character. Now, when we talk about something that is holy, it has God's active presence within it. Something that is holy has God's active presence in it. Remember, we won't turn there, but in Exodus chapter 3, when God spoke to Moses by means of the burning bush, he told Moses to remove his sandals because where he stood was holy ground. Because God's presence was there, and it was holy ground. God's active presence. Remember last week when we, on the last day of unleavened bread, when we were going through the book of Joshua in chapter 5, towards the end of chapter 5, and Joshua, on his way to Jericho, came across the commander of the Lord's army, the angel of the Lord, the one that would become Jesus Christ. And he told Joshua, take your sandals off, because where you stand is holy ground. God's active presence. And God's God put His presence, His active presence in the Sabbath day as well. And as we come to worship on this day, He's with us. He's with us. He inspires us. He helps us rejoice and to have joy. And it's a wonderful thing. We see here in verse number 3 that God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. In other words, He made it special. And we remember, all of us remember, that God made it a special day. And that's the first way that we can remember the Sabbath day, is recalling that He made it special, sanctified it, set it apart. It's holy time. As Word commentary adds to this section, it says, blessed and sanctified, these are striking terms to apply to a day. I think that's a wonderful comment. Striking terms to apply to a day. Now I want to take, before we go into the next point here, I want to take a few moments and examine the word remember. From the original Hebrew, according to Vines, when we remember something, we take action. According to the Hebrew, when we remember something, we take action. There's action involved in remembering. For instance, in the book of Exodus, God says that He remembered the children of Israel, saw their slavery, their hard bondage, and all that they were going through, and He was going to deliver them from their slavery. He's going to take action through the remembering of what Israel was going through. There's action involved in remembering. And for us, that action is worshiping. That's how we remember God. By action is our worshiping. And that's what we're doing today. We've come together. This is a holy convocation. And we're worshiping God. Those of you that are connected today as well, you're listening to this sermon, God's Word, and you're worshiping Him. That's another way that we remember the Sabbath day. So the first way of remembering the Sabbath day is remember that God made it a special day. And the second way is dedicating our worship to God. The action that we take, worshiping God and dedicating our worshiping to Him. So remembering is a form of worshiping God. I'd like to read a comment from expositors. It says this: the command to remember the Sabbath is moral insofar as it requires of a person a due portion of his or her time dedicated to the worship and service of God. That's kind of a long statement there from expositors, but to boil it down, it's like what I said, remembering the Sabbath is dedicating our worship to Him. Let's go to Exodus chapter 31. We've talked about God's presence and that His presence is holy, His active where God's presence is holy, holy ground, etc. In Exodus chapter 25 through 31, we have the description of the instructions for building the tabernacle. We went through this in the Bible study series, all the different instructions for Moses and the children of Israel to construct the tabernacle, because God's presence was going to be with them in the tabernacle. Then when we come to chapter 31, the instructions for building the tabernacle are winding down. And we come to verse number 13. Exodus 31 and verse 13. And God adds some more special significance to the Sabbath in this section. Exodus 31 and verse 13. Verse 13, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. And notice this, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So here we have some additional information regarding the Sabbath day from our Creator, that the Sabbath is a sign between Him and His people. And remember, He sanctified, set apart the seventh day as holy time, but He also sanctifies us. When we keep the Sabbath day, it's a sign between God and us. Here the Sabbath is given an additional significance, a sign. And a sign, simply put, is a reminder, a memorial, or a symbol. Let me repeat that. A sign is a reminder, a memorial, or a symbol. And as I mentioned, it's a sign of who God's people are. The Sabbath is to be kept holy as a reminder to those who are called of God that He is the one who sets them apart and that they are the children of God. And that's a wonderful thing. Set apart, sanctified, because we are keeping the Sabbath day. Today we would call, we call them the elect, the called, the chosen, the faithful, those that have been called by God to understand His truth, and they are sanctified and set apart by keeping the Sabbath. Continuing on now, verse number 14, you shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy to you, holy to each and every one of us. Respect and reverence for the Sabbath. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. And I already mentioned earlier the example in Numbers 15. We talked about this in the Bible study series, that there was an Israelite that deliberately went out gathering wood on the Sabbath day, defying the Sabbath, and apparently with that kind of attitude. And later he was stoned and put to death for that defiant kind of attitude against the Sabbath. Verse 15, work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Verse 16, therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, as a perpetual covenant, a covenant between God and His people to continually keep the Sabbath day and to keep it holy as well. Again, it's repeated, this phrase, the sign in verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. And again, setting the example for each and every one of us. God knows our physical abilities, our disabilities, and He knows that we need rest. And that's what He designed Sabbath for. And He set that example. So it is a sign between God and His people. And it's repeated here in this section of Scripture. With the emphasis forever. A definite sign between God and His people. So it's a memorial that points back to the creation and the creation of the Sabbath. Now I want to consider the significance of the Sabbath, going back through some of these things that we've been discussing already, and the significance with these particular terms. First of all, the phrase, it is a sign. It is a sign, and the significance involved with that. The Sabbath is a memorial that comes once a week for us to focus on worshiping God, to build a relationship with Him by listening to His Word, taking in His Word, in our prayer life and communication to Him. And it's a sign that separates us and sets us apart, and a sign that we are His people. Very great significance in that phrase, it is a sign. Also, the phrase in verse number 15, a Sabbath of rest. Sabbath of rest. That has great significance as well. Rest points to something. Rest points to something. And that is that the Sabbath that we keep reveals in God's plan, reveals in type, God's plan for all of mankind. It reminds us that God is working out a plan for all of mankind, and the rest and the peace and the harmony that will take place in the millennium. And that's something that we can focus on the Sabbath day. What it's going to be like after Jesus Christ returns to this earth. You know, we live in a world that's got death, all kinds of problems, destruction, hate. But after Christ returns, it's going to change. It's going to be different. And we're all going to have a part in that. Peace, harmony, tranquility. in working with people, helping them to understand God's truth and way of life. Things that we can focus on this special day. A Sabbath of rest that points to something, something greater that's going to take place in the future. Also, considering the significance of the phrase, sanctifies you. Sanctifies you. The called out ones, the chosen ones, called out for a special purpose. The Sabbath reveals that God is a spiritual creator. He's building a spiritual creation in each and every one of us. And as we build that relationship with Him and walk with Jesus Christ, we are fulfilling that purpose that He has and has called us out for. So if we're building that spiritual relationship with God on this special day, we are remembering the Sabbath. Much, much significance in many of these phrases that we have read in scriptures that we know. Very, very important. Let's go to the New Testament now, and let's go to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We're going to see where Christ began His ministry after He had received the Holy Spirit, been baptized, received the Holy Spirit. He came to Galilee preaching the gospel. Mark chapter 1. We're going to see Christ's example when He began to preach the gospel message. Mark chapter 1, and we're going to pick it up in verse number 14. Again, this was after He received the Holy Spirit, which is described in verse number 10. Verse number 14, Mark chapter 1. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So Jesus Christ came into Galilee preaching with enthusiasm the gospel of the kingdom, pointing people's minds and attention to the coming kingdom when He would return to earth the second time. Then we won't read these verses, but in verses 16 through 20, it describes the disciples that He called to follow Him. For instance, in verse 16, Simon and Andrew, and in verse 19, James and John, they were the disciples that He specifically called to follow Him. Then let's drop down to verse number 21. Then they, speaking of Christ and the disciples, went into Capernaum, one of the cities of Galilee, and immediately, because this was first priority, immediately, on the Sabbath, He entered the synagogue and taught. Christ showed at the very beginning of His ministry what should be done on the Sabbath day as He went in there and began to teach. And as we reflect back on verse number 14, what He was teaching about was the kingdom of God. And we'll see that, and you can find that in other scriptures, pointing people's attention to that kingdom. And verse 22, and they were astonished at His teaching. For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The scribes were boring. They were rote in their teaching. But Jesus Christ taught with authority and enthusiasm. And you can imagine the audience there that day, living in the Roman world where they were suppressed by the Romans and their army and the taxes they had to pay to the Romans and all that was going on. They didn't have their freedom like they would like to have. And Jesus Christ focusing them on the kingdom. When finally there will be peace and harmony and no more wars and armies patrolling the world. And He caught their attention as He taught them on the Sabbath day. So Christ called the disciples to follow Him and immediately, first priority, taught on the Sabbath, setting the example of teaching from God's Word, focusing on the kingdom of God, the spiritual. People today, in our world, don't have a concept of time set aside for God. They're too busy with the things that they're doing, their jobs, everything, the entertainment world, all that we have at our fingertips today. They don't have a concept of time for God in the world today, which is one of the reasons why we see so many problems in our nation and the world. But time set aside to God is so valuable and so important for us as disciples. Let's go to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Again, we're going to come to another section where Christ was teaching on the Sabbath. Previous to what we're going to read, we're going to start in verse number 10 of chapter 13. But previously, Christ is talking about repentance, and he's also talking about growing in fruit, bearing fruit. And we come to verse number 10 of Luke 13. Luke 13, verse number 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Again, one of his priorities to teach from God's word, from the scriptures to people. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, verse 11, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. So she had some kind of arthritic condition or some kind of, was born in a certain way where she was bent over and couldn't even raise herself up. And Christ noticed her, verse 12, he saw her and called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. A miracle took place, mighty work that Christ performed there on that particular Sabbath. But what did the ruler of the synagogue do? Verse 14, the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath and said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." And Christ was showing the good that could be done on the Sabbath day in healing a person who had been struck that way for 18 years of her life. And so there's Christ's answer in verse 15. Then the Lord answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? You know, you give your animal water because it needs it." Verse 16, "So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan is bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from the bond on this Sabbath?" And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then we come to verse number 18, and we find he picks up, after this healing, he picks up his teaching on the Sabbath day. It's still that same day of the Sabbath, and he's going to teach. And notice where his focus is. Verse 18. Then he said, "What is the kingdom of God like? And what shall I compare it?" And you know, those that were sitting out there in that audience, sitting there that day, that saw this woman who had been bent over for 18 years, who had been healed. The kingdom of God, there'll be great healings take place. People that have suffered for so many years. There's going to be and we can read scriptures like Isaiah 35. Not only physical healings, but spiritual healing as well. What is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? Verse number 19, as Christ continued teaching on that Sabbath day, "It is like mustard seed, which a man took and put in his garden, and it grew, and it became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches." Here we see that the small seed grows and becomes a huge tree. At times when the mustard tree would grow to 10, 12 feet in height. It was enough for the birds to be able to come and put their nests in it, benefiting them. But this type of tree that Christ was describing here in verse number 19, the mustard tree, in the ancient world symbolized a great empire. The mustard tree in the ancient world symbolized a great empire. And that's what Christ was describing here, the kingdom of God. And the significance of this particular parable is the kingdom will begin small with the seed sown, but ultimately it will expand over all the earth and will benefit everyone because Jesus Christ will be ruling. What can you compare it with? As Christ put it, what shall I compare it with? Again, he continues teaching, verse number 20. He said, "To what shall I liken the kingdom of God?" Verse 21. It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was leavened. He's describing here the analogy of leaven. Leaven expanding like it does in bread, and expanding using that analogy of the kingdom expanding all throughout the earth, benefiting from the rule of Jesus Christ and those that will be ruling under him of great benefit. What will the kingdom be like? And Christ was describing it as he was teaching that day. We see Christ's focus on the kingdom as he taught on the Sabbath day. And the Sabbath day is a day to focus on God's word. Scriptures like this. And get our minds focused on that great, wonderful future and what it will be like in that day. You don't have to turn there, but in Mark chapter 2 and verse 28, Mark 2 verse 28, Christ said the Sabbath was made for man. It's a time for focusing on worshiping God and building a relationship with him and to keep it holy by showing proper respect and reverence for that special day. A time to focus on wonderful scriptures like we just read here in chapter 13, verses 18 through 21, and many others that we can find. We are just a called out few. When we look at our numbers here, gathered here in the Jacksonville Senior Center here today, and those of you that are gathered in at the Great Hall in Memphis there, Germantown, and several of you that are connected listening to my message today, we're just a few called out in this world today that God has opened our minds to understand his plan of salvation for mankind. And Bible prophecy shows that after Christ returns, everyone will be taught, and they will turn their attention to worshiping God on his day. So let's look at one of these prophecies now. Prophecy of the future in Isaiah chapter 56. A prophecy of the future and the importance of keeping the Sabbath day. People who had never worshipped the Sabbath day, what we would call pagan people, are going to be taught. And they're going to learn and they will keep God's holy day. Isaiah chapter 56. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Isaiah 56, verse number 1. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness. For my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. And that will be revealed. Salvation will be offered to all of mankind eventually. And true righteousness will be revealed when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. We are broadcasting the wonderful news of the world tomorrow, God's kingdom. But when Christ returns, true righteousness will be revealed and taught. Verse number 2, blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. And again, people will be taught these things, and we will be able to teach them. Verse 3, do not let the son of a foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give my house and within my walls a place and a name, better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Notice in verse number 4 hits here, the eunuchs are being addressed who are keeping God's Sabbaths. Remember in our Bible study series, Deuteronomy chapter 23, I believe it was in verse number 1, God specifically said, the eunuchs are not to come into the congregation of the Lord. And I'm paraphrasing. And the reason for that was the eunuchs were the ones who mutilated themselves in pagan worship. They would deliberately mutilate their private parts in worshiping pagan gods. had nothing to do with worshiping, and God would not have them come into his congregation because of that. But in the future, that's going to change. Pagan people, because that's what the eunuchs represent here, is pagan people that did never worship God, are going to be taught. And they will be keeping the Sabbath day. And as it says here, I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. The last part of verse number 5. Verse number 6. Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord, serve him, and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain. And mountain in scripture symbolizes government. Talking about Christ's government on this earth. And people who are beginning to keep God's Sabbath and to be part of his covenant. I will bring them to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, because they'll be worshiping God. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. Previously they were not when they were worshiping the pagan gods, but now they will be, or they will be in the future. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Again, prophecy of people who previously did not keep the Sabbath. They'll be taught, and they will be keeping it. And they'll be part of God's people and holding fast with his covenant. All nations will be worshiping God and keeping his Sabbath. Another scripture, just a couple pages over, a couple scriptures we can look at, Isaiah 58, just a page or so over. Notice verse 13 and 14. Isaiah 58, verse 13. And this will be taught to people in the future. This is something that, as we are teaching, we can focus on and tell people. Verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, what will happen? Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth. They'll be blessed, in other words, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Blessings, not only physical blessings, but spiritual blessings as well for keeping the Sabbath. And that will be taught in the future. When we turn from seeking our own way and we find what pleases God, it's a matter of honoring God, and God promises blessings. The Sabbath day is a day that we as disciples must treat with reverence as holy time and time for building our relationship with God. A couple more scriptures now as we begin to wind down. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. The general thinking is the author of the Hebrews, we don't know for sure, but most likely it was the Apostle Paul. And in the section that we're going to be reading in chapter 4, he was focusing on the fact that the original generation that came out of the slavery of Egypt did not go into the promised land. And he calls that they did not enter their rest. God had promised them great abundance and blessings for obedience. But as you know, they were not faithful. They did not go into God's promised rest. And that's what the writer here in Hebrews was focusing on. Let's pick it up in Hebrews 4, verse number 4. Hebrews 4 and verse number 4. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And he's referring to Genesis chapter 2, which we read earlier today during this sermon. Then in verse number 5, he references another scripture in the Psalms, Psalm chapter 95. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest, referring to the original generation who did not go into the promised land Because of their unbelief, their disobedience, they did not go into God's rest. Continuing on. Verse 6. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, so there are going to be people that are going to be going into God's rest, and to those whom it was first preached, they did not enter because of disobedience. Verse 7. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, again, David's reference here, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Like the original generation did, they hardened their hearts, disobeyed God, would not believe him, they did not go into the promised land of rest. Verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day that lays yet out into the future. Verse number 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. The rest in the promised land was a type of a greater rest to come. And that's what the author was focusing on here. Those original people that came out of Israel, the first generation, they did not go into God's rest. But the promised land was a type of a greater rest to come. Rest here, the word rest in verse number 9, reflects back to verse number 4. The rest that God did on the Sabbath day. The word rest here in verse number 9 comes from the Greek word sabbatismos. Sabbatismos, which is literally Sabbath. The Sabbath rest for us today, which God did at creation, points to a greater rest in the future. And that's another one of the great significance of this day that we are keeping. We are keeping this day worshiping God in a holy convocation, but it points to something that will happen in the future that's beyond our imagination today in our human form. A great rest for all of mankind. The Sabbath looks forward to the return of Jesus Christ in the establishment of the kingdom of God, when there will be true rest for all of humanity. Let's go now to one final scripture in Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Another one of these prophecies that we can focus on this day. Isaiah chapter 66, and we're going to read verses 22 and 23. There's a title to this particular section in my Bible, and the title is, All Flesh Shall Worship God. What a great title that is, because that's not happening today, but it will in the future. Isaiah 66, verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. When Jesus Christ returns to the earth and establishes the kingdom of God, the Sabbath will be regularly kept as a means of worshiping and serving God. The Sabbath will be kept by all of mankind. And the Sabbath that we are keeping today points to that glorious future. Let's not ever forget the great significance of the Sabbath appointed by God. We need to allow God to work in us. We need to let God work on us, work in us on the Sabbath day. A chance to build and nourish a relationship with our very Creator. And focus our minds on His way and His purpose. To remember the Sabbath and keep the Sabbath holy will help us experience and enjoy the blessing of God's Sabbath and to appreciate its great significance. What great understanding our great God has given us. A true and true blessing.